As remarkable as that event was, it was ultimately a foreshadow of the rescue from slavery and sin that Jesus Christ would bring through his death on the cross for all those who believe in him by faith to receive his grace.
Living the Light listeners, we are in Deuteronomy chapter 7 today with more wise words from Moses. Today's message is called the unparalleled blessing of belonging. Belonging is a huge deal to us. As humans, we all desire to belong to something. Don't you think, Robbie?
I mean, absolutely. And Shannon, like people in our day searching desperately for meaning, for purpose, yes, for belonging, wanting really to be loved. And so today's message, like Moses is like, hey, people, there is no greater blessing than knowing that you are the Lord's, that you are chosen and loved and cherished and kept, and you will be found again. If your life is rooted by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, there is nothing more important that you can rejoice with the truths of Deuteronomy and, of course, the New Testament and Romans chapter 8, that nothing will ever separate you from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. Again, such a word, so needed for our day, so many searching. Maybe you just tuned in today. Maybe you do not know Jesus Christ. Today is the day. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are giving yourself over to the one who will keep you literally for all of eternity. That's the heart of this message. That's the heart of this ministry, helping people be transformed by the love and power of Jesus Christ.
Right. Friends, we don't forget that you are so treasured and loved by the God who created the universe. Want to learn more? Open your Bible today to Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we will start together in verse 6.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, continuing our series. Here's our sermon title, jumping right into it, The Unparalleled Blessing of Belonging to the Lord. The Unparalleled Blessing of Belonging to the Lord. So as Christ followers, as genuine Christ followers, one of the great challenges we face each day is this. It's to continually be aware of or convinced of our true identity, listen, our spiritual prosperity, or our guaranteed eternity. That's one of the great challenges we face each day. The world is constantly pulling us away from what is biblically true and our reality in Jesus Christ. We have to be constantly reminded of and be aware again of our identity in Christ, our spiritual prosperity in Christ, we'll hear today, and our guaranteed eternity again that is found in Jesus Christ. And this is what scripture is constantly trying to direct our gaze towards. Like over and over again, scripture is telling us, and this is a message the Holy Spirit has on repeat again so often throughout the Bible. Now, why would the Holy Spirit, why does the Bible say the same message over and over again? Because obviously God wants us to live for that which actually matters. This is when our ambition is truly Christ-centered. When we are living for our reality in Christ, when we are understanding the power of eternity that's coming for us, our riches in the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens? We hold loosely to treasures on earth. We can let go of that because we know they don't matter in the end. And we hold tightly to treasures of the kingdom. This is what happens. We cling to that which actually will last, with moth and rust will not be able to destroy. This is our calling. This is, for those of us truly saved in Jesus Christ, this is should be the heartbeat of how we live. This is what God, again, wants us to do and who God wants us to be. So we jump into Deuteronomy and we see themes again presented in this reality, and we want to relate them again to the New Testament and New Covenant as well. So as we go through chapters in Deuteronomy, what are we doing? We're explaining the context in which, again, it was given originally through Moses to the people of God, but we don't just stop there. We want to bring it and draw a line from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, so it applies to us today as well. This, of course, is exactly what the New Testament authors did. They took the truths that were a foreshadow and they took what was being again as a foreshadow to the fulfillment found ultimately in followers or that which was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So today in Deuteronomy 7, we see a powerful passage on the identity, listen, and prosperity of the Israelites in the Lord. But this points to a greater reality, which is found in Jesus Christ. Again, for all those who truly follow, who have truly given their lives through grace and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our big idea today, our thesis, we've already said it, I'll say it again. It is the unparalleled blessing that is found in belonging to the Lord. The unparalleled blessing of belonging to the Lord. Listen, nothing else comes close in this life. No greater purpose and value and joy and meaning and fulfillment that is found in belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. But something we need to be reminded of on a daily basis because of how quickly we are drawn away from this reality and we're spent all our time looking at the things of the earth, which will never ultimately satisfy. So we're going to jump right into our text now. We're going to jump into our outline as well. Lots to go through today. So to truly belong to the Lord, then why is an unparalleled blessing? Number one, it means I've been chosen and treasured by a sovereign God. It means I've been chosen and treasured by a sovereign God. Look at verse 6 now. It says this. Moses says to the people of Israel, but you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Wow. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Now in verse 6, obviously building on verses 1 to 5. And verses 1 to 5, Moses has given strict commands to the Israelites to purge the evil of foreign gods or foreign nations from their midst. They are specifically instructed to destroy all foreign gods. Now, why is that so important? Because, listen, it is the sin of idolatry that turns the heart of God's people away from God. It is the sin of idolatry that battles for our worship. There is no greater threat to the human heart than when we worship small g gods other than the one true God. It is the sin of idolatry that wrecks lives. It's interesting. Robert Clinton wrote a book on leadership, read many years ago, still read it actually quite often and reference it. He did a study from the data he could find of 100 biblical leaders from start to finish. And he wanted to study how many of those leaders actually finished well from the data based on scripture from 100 leaders, again, presented in the Bible. He discovered out of the 100 leaders, again, with data was there for, again, how many of them finished well? Less than 30% of these leaders finished well. So you have 70% of these leaders that you can see from start to finish that actually finished well in the things of the Lord. The number one reason why these leaders did not finish well, again, was ultimately the sin of idolatry. Whether it was a lust for power, whether it was pride, whether it was lust for sexuality or sexual immorality, or whether it was greed. One way or another, the idolatry of the heart. So many of these guys, they start well. And they're fired up and they're following Christ and they're humble. And then the sin of idolatry takes over in one way or another. And it shipwrecks, again, their passion and faith for the things of the Lord. We should be very mindful of this. We should care about this. We should be so aware of this. So Moses gives the negative incentive from verses 1 to 5 of why they should pursue the Lord. And the negative incentive is, watch out for idols, man. It'll kill you. It'll take your heart away from the Lord. Now what he does is he gives positive incentive, very positive incentive in verse 6, right? As to why they should pursue the Lord. Moses reminds the Israelites, they have, quote, been chosen. They have been set apart. They are the treasured possession of God. Now let's just stop there for a second. Pause. Let's think about that, okay? So here you have the people of God specifically set apart to be different. God's like, I chose you to not look like the world. I chose you. I set you apart to be holy, the text says. You are my treasured possession. Wow. I've set you apart to be different. So in that sense, and in that theological reality now, it would be inconceivable for God's people to engross their lives in sin and evil. It's inconceivable. I specifically chose you. I set you apart. You are now holy. You are my treasure possession. And now you go live in the sin and evil of the world. No, it makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. In fact, it's inconceivable. You've been specifically set apart and saved for something so much greater and something so much better. You've been specifically delivered from sin. You've been rescued. What? For the purposes of righteousness, for the purposes of light. You are to be light for the purposes of truth, which God cares about obviously so much. You have been chosen by me, God, to be different. Again, you are a treasured possession of the Lord. Really, really profound and powerful truth if we see it for what it is. Now, some reading Deuteronomy 7 right now might think and rightly ask, well, this is the Old Testament. This is the Old Covenant. How does this relate to us? How do we take these verses here and these promises given and this truth being declared? How do we relate it to us? Well, Peter does that directly. Peter does that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He takes portions of this exact verse in Deuteronomy 7, and he quotes it again to those who are alive truly by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are now part of the living stones making up the body, the building, and the family of God. He says, but you, again, those saved in Jesus Christ, are a chosen race. I mean, it's just an incredible statement. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for the possession of God. You've been chosen, set apart. You are different. You are in God's possession, that you might look different. You might proclaim the excellencies, again, of God who called you out of darkness and to marvelous light. Look at what Peter is saying for all of us here right now, truly saved. I keep saying that, by the way, who are truly saved, because not everyone is. But those who are truly saved in Jesus Christ, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and you know your relationship with him, this is your calling. This is who you are. You've been chosen and treasured by a sovereign God. Here's what William MacDonald says about this. He says on 1 Peter 2:9, instead of being an earthly race with common ancestry and distinct physical characteristics, Christians, genuine Christians, are a heavenly people with a divine parentage and with spiritual resemblances. Little worry, but take a look at that. That's very important and very powerful. So what we need to do right now is we need to hold up 1 Peter 2:9 as it relates to Deuteronomy 7. We need to hold up the truth of 1 Peter 2:9 and compare it to anything else we might want in this world. You are a chosen race, a holy royal priesthood, a holy nation, a treasure possession of God. Think of the value and the profundity of this, and let's hold up against that bigger paycheck you want to get one day. Let's hold up against that material possession you think you need so badly. Let's hold up this truth of the gospel up against some vacation you hope to take one day too. Let's just start weighing life and eternity. Let's start weighing the power of the gospel and being adopted child, redeemed in the Lord God Almighty and treasured by him, and then let's compare it to the things we think we need in this life, but we don't with the right gospel lens. This is what we're learning right now. This is the power and this is the opportunity we have to be able to choose, to see, and to say, I've been chosen by the Lord if I'm saved in Jesus Christ and I'm treasured by God. And think of this too, eh? What began with Israel. In Deuteronomy 7 here, we see what began with Israel. God in his grace and mercy has opened up this ability to be chosen and treasured or adopted into his family to every tribe, tongue, and nation. I mean, just this room right now is proof of that. You look across this room, Overflow, again, on Orangeville, whatever, again, listening right now, like this room right now, you look around and the faithfulness of God, what started with one physical nation now has reached, the gospel has reached every tribe, tongue, and nation, which is massively encouraging. Is it not, church? Is it not? We look around and we say, look what the Lord has done. Amen. 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 The gospel has reached, again, all the ethnicities and all the different languages and all the realities, again, of the backgrounds. And here we are, again, saved together in the Lord Jesus Christ, chosen and treasured by a sovereign God. I also want you to think about this, okay, too. How do we apply this specifically? Think right now. Your entire identity, your purpose, your value, and your entire future are all rooted in the Lord of the universe. This is the power and the opportunity to live in the truth of who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say it again, because the battle for identity in this world, the battle for purpose, the battle against depression, the battle of anxiety, the battle of fear of the unknown future. But the reality is, in the Lord Jesus Christ, again, your entire future, your entire purpose, your entire value, your entire identity is rooted in Jesus Christ. It has been granted to you. It will never be taken from you. No one will ever be able to diminish one aspect of your inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is yours and yours alone and yours forever, all because of what Jesus Christ has done. This is the gospel. This is truth. This is the reality. And this is why, again, belonging to the Lord carries an unparalleled blessing that the world does not know and cannot touch. This means that in Jesus Christ, you are his possession. This means that in Jesus Christ, you are his treasure. This means that in Jesus Christ, you are his forever. You are his forever. And I need to speak this over you today as well. And I need to hear this, and you need to hear this too. This is so, so important. Again, it's not about what we've done. It's not about, because I'm always like, well, I mess up, God, and I'm always aware of all my sin, and I'm always aware of all the reasons I don't deserve the grace of God. But Robbie, it's not about you. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's about what he's done and how he's paid the price for your sins and mine. Whatever, want to clap for that, I'm clap for that as well. Just about to clap. Here's the reality. And I want to speak this over you as I need to speak it over me too, okay? Ready? Ready? Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, again, if you are saved in him, you are adopted by God. And this is what you have to know today. The Lord God Almighty, he delights in you. He delights in you. He loves you. He has chosen you and redeemed you, and he cares for you. And you need to hear that, and I need to hear this right now. Again, Lord delights in you. Take that personally right now. Are you alive in Jesus Christ? The Lord delights in you. Yeah, but what about this? What I know. What about my sin? I know. What about my past? I know. I say it all the time. And yet, even now, right now, I need to hear it. He delights in you. He delights in you because of his goodness and because of his grace and because of his love. And because, again, he has chosen and treasures every child that is his. And again, nothing compares to this reality, again, within this life, than being found as a child who belongs to the Lord, the unparalleled blessing of belonging to the Lord. That's a lot, but there's more. Oh, there's more. Point number two, I am loved by a faithful God. I am loved by a faithful God. Look at verse 7 now. Verse 7. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. In fact, you were the fewest of all peoples, but it's because the Lord loves you. It's because the Lord loves you, listen, and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Verse 9, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, underline, circle, something there, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Listen to 1,000 generations, wow. Verse 10, sobering, and repays though to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with the one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Okay, so it's interesting in verse 7. In verse 7, Moses explains why God didn't choose the Israelites. He didn't choose them because they were great and powerful. That's not how God works. God resides and dwells with the lowly, the broken, and the humble. But in verse 8, he does explain again why he chose them. He chose them because of his love. And he chose them because God made promises to their fathers. He chose them because God is faithful, listen, to his covenant promises. So consider when God first showed up to Abram in a world of evil and sinfulness. God chooses Abram, soon to be Abraham, beyond our understanding. Why Abram? I don't know. We don't know. It's beyond our understanding. But he shows up to Abram. He promises Abram. He says, I will make you a great nation, and you, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed. And listen, when God makes a promise, he keeps it. We can't fully explain why God chose Abraham. We can't fully explain. That's okay, church. That's okay. It's okay to understand that the ways of God are not our ways and God's ways are higher than our own. It's okay sometimes to understand the secret things belong to God, Deuteronomy 29:29. It's okay to know that God is infinite and we are finite. But when God makes a promise, he keeps it. And God made a promise to Abraham further on in Genesis 15:5 on the screen for you. And he said, look toward heaven, Abraham, and number the stars. If you were able to number them, there's the promise. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be, as numerous as the stars in the sky. Abraham, take a look. Can only imagine Abraham listening to these words from the Lord and trying to make sense of what that means. But again, here we are today for those of us truly saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are the fulfillment of the promise of God given through Abraham that again, his descendants would be as numerous as the stars because his line again led to the power, the life, and the gospel and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Moses reminds the people of God. If we go back to our text here, he says, listen, God brought you out with a mighty hand. He redeemed the people of God from the house of slavery from Pharaoh. And as wonderful and as awesome as that event was, I mean, that was an incredible event from all of history. Rescuing, again, God's people from slavery from Egypt, the Red Sea being parted. We all know that story, the impact. And yet, as remarkable as that event was, it was ultimately a foreshadow. It was a foreshadow of the rescue from slavery and sin that Jesus Christ would bring through his death on the cross for all those who believe in him by faith to receive his grace. Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of God's promise to rescue us from sin and death. See, when God makes a promise, he keeps it. He keeps it. So Christmas, Jesus being born is God faithful to his promises. I will send a deliverer. A Good Friday is God being faithful to his promises. Jesus dies on the cross. That is God being faithful to the promises of Isaiah 53 and so many others. When Jesus is raised from the dead, that is God being faithful to his promises. The gospel shouts the faithfulness of God. Life right now, hard here. Life right now, suffering, trial, hardship here. Life right now, consumed again, filled with the love of God. Life right now in Jesus Christ never ever diminishes the faithfulness and promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. This is what we're seeing. This is what we're learning. This is what we are so encouraged by. And let me ask you, what is the ultimate motivation behind the faithfulness of God? Well, the ultimate motivation is love. It's love. Listen, when you have received the love of God through Jesus Christ, when you have truly received the love of God through your son, Jesus Christ, nothing will ever separate you from that love, ever, ever. You are loved by a faithful God. A God, what starts in you, he will finish. A love that will never, ever be diminished from your life. I think we're due for a bit of a drenching of God's love. I think we're in good time for that. Let's go to Romans 8. Let's go to the New Testament again to see the reality of the love of God. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And the short answer is nothing. Not tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. What are we learning here? In Jesus Christ, we receive an inseparable love. I mean, isn't that so powerful? Like, just even today, no matter what you face, no matter what's going on, what trial or distress or persecution or what you have or don't have or danger, nothing will ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Let's go to verse 37 now. Verse 37, no, answering these things and all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors in the Greek, it's hard to translate in the English. It's like super duper conquerors. It's like super abounding conquerors. It's like over conquerors, more than conquerors through him who loved us. So this is an unconquerable love. You're like, life is hard. I know it is sometimes, eh? Yet you have a love that cannot be conquered. You're like, yeah, but I'm struggling. There's suffering. I know. But you have a love in Jesus Christ that cannot be conquered. One day you will see it so soon. One day so soon he will return and you will see the reality of his love that cannot be conquered for all those who truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold on, hold on. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. The truth is coming. The reality again of belonging to Jesus Christ. Oh, but there's more. Verses 38 to 39, for I'm sure, Paul says, that neither death nor life, how about that, eh? Neither death nor life, angels, demons, rulers, things present, things to come, powers, height of depth, or anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is an indestructible love. In Jesus Christ, we possess a love that cannot be beat, that will never be conquered, that is inseparable, all because of what Jesus Christ did. Wow, 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 wow. When you are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are loved in such a way that will never, ever be taken from you. Why? Because God made a promise, and when God makes a promise, he keeps it. And when he keeps it and you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are his forever and ever and ever. You receive a love that will never be diminished, never be taken from you, never be again ruined in any form whatsoever. This is the power of the gospel. So again, this truth maybe we've heard, this truth we must receive today, because yesterday is not good enough for today. Today we need to hear it again. What? No matter what circumstance, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you are right now, no matter how you suffer, no matter what pain you experience, what tears, what fatigue you are experiencing, what weariness has come upon you, what trial encounters you, the reality is the love of God has never been more powerful than it is right now in terms of his promise made to you and his promise, again, which will be made and kept for all of eternity. This is the power of the gospel again upon your life. What do? We have to live in this. We have to live in this. So the song, How Deep the Father's Love, How Deep the Father's Love, right? One of the final verses, because of the reality of the gospel, I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. I don't want the world's knowledge. I don't want the world's stuff. I don't want the world's money. I don't need that, but I will boast in Jesus Christ. I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, the very purpose and hope of my entire existence. Why should I gain from his reward? How is that possible? I cannot give an answer. How has he chosen me and treasured me and loved me? But this I know with all my heart, that the wounds of Jesus Christ has paid my ransom. And if he has paid my ransom, then I'm secure in his love for, again, all of eternity. And I will never be lost. All loved ones, be encouraged today. Be encouraged today. For all those who are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, again, you are chosen and treasured. You are loved. You are loved by a faithful God. This is the unparalleled blessing of the world. Where else are you going to find this? Where are you going to find this in the world? Where are you going to find this on the world's cruddy social media? Where are you going to find this in all the lies of our systems of blah, 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 blah? You're not going to find this anywhere else but Jesus Christ. This reality, this promise, this hope, this future, and this certainty is all found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, the unparalleled blessing of belonging to the Lord. Man, that's a lot. Oh, but there's more. There's more. Point number three, I am favored by a generous God. I am favored by a generous God. Look at verse 12 now. Moses says, and because you listen to these rules and keep them and do them, the Lord your God will keep you. The covenant and the steadfast love he swore to his fathers. Verse 13, he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and your grain and your wine and your oil, the increase of your herds and the young in your flock and the land that he swore to your fathers to give you. Verse 14, you shall be blessed above all peoples, the unparalleled blessing of belonging to the Lord. Again, this is summarized in verse 13. He will love you. He will bless you. He will multiply you. He will shower you with fruit. And then verse 14, you shall be blessed above all peoples. There's no blessing that equates with the blessing that comes of belonging to the Lord. Now, let's explain this contextually. The context in chapter 7 in Deuteronomy here is if the people love the Lord, if they trust the Lord and they obey the Lord, the promises and the guarantee God will bless the people. 100%, he will bless them. Hey, Live in the Light listeners, so appreciate you. Robbie Simons here. Hey, listen, Giving Tuesday is coming up on December 2nd. And of course, Giving Tuesday is a day where we are desirous to be generous towards, again, ministries that God has particularly used within our lives, seeking to make an eternal impact. Hey, if that's where you are right now and the Lord is leading you to be generous again to this ministry here at Live in the Light, if you've been encouraged in your walk with God, would you consider supporting us? We would love that. Obviously, again, we can only be on this station through your generous support. We have an option becoming a power partner, $30 a month, joining with us to see again the message of the gospel and the light of Jesus Christ through the power of his word go out and transform lives. You know it, I know it. Our day needs this so, so much. So if you want to do this, if you're being led even right now and you've been thinking about it and the Holy Spirit speaking to you, all the information is at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. Thank you for your support and for your future support. We are so very grateful for you.
That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.